The first reading can be found on pages 635 and 650 in the Church Bibles, or pages 1130 and 1156 in the large print version. The reading is from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and then chapter 15, verses 30 to 33. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to your to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. Chapter 15, verse 30. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds corrections gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel can be found on page 1042 in the Church Bibles, or page 1840 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Glory to you, O Lord. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ.
Well, I'm sure that each of us will have found ourselves at some point saying, "Oh, I wish I'd done things differently. Why did I do that? What was I thinking?" Maybe it's as you stand over the shards of broken glass, as you've tried to carry too many wine glasses on a tray at once to save an extra trip to the kitchen. And now you're standing over a big, rather sharp mess on the floor. And as you clear up those shards of broken glass, you realize that these glasses were actually quite expensive, a special gift. And you think, how on earth am I going to replace these? I don't even know where to start. And as these things go through your mind, you might well feel a growing sense of frustration. You see, the other reality that could have happened seems so close. You almost feel like you should have a right to turn the clock back and do things differently. Well, I certainly feel that frustration. Why can't I go back and do it differently, and then I wouldn't have this mess? Well, I'm sure that each of us, as we think back, would love to be able to turn the clock back and certain words or actions or decisions, we'd love just to be able to go back and do them differently this time, to avoid the painful mess that perhaps has resulted instead. I felt like this several times recently as I've embarked on some sort of New Year repair jobs where things that aren't working quite as well as they should be get taken apart and I have a little tinker to see if I can repair them or not. But I almost always make the same mistake. I don't spend enough time at the beginning really trying to understand the problem before I dive in. I haven't cleared a large enough area to be able to set everything out neatly, and so things get done hastily and balanced on top of one another. And more often than not, things are worse than they were at the start. That original bad decision to try and save time sets off a sequence of other results, other events, and you end up in a worse place than you started. If only in life we could know with a bit more certainty how to embark on things, how to navigate the more difficult areas. How can we avoid making a painful mess of things? Well, that's exactly where the book of Proverbs comes in. It's a wonderful, gracious provision of God that we have the so-called wisdom literature of the Old Testament. It's often neglected. We often don't spend much time looking at the wisdom literature. But it's a wonderful provision for us. And verses 2 to 6, at the beginning of Proverbs, state exactly what Proverbs is aiming to bring us. Wisdom, instruction, to help us in discipline, to bring us understanding, insight, discretion, guidance. I'm sure each of us would love to have these things, to know these things. Wisdom is knowledge applied. I'm sure we know people who are very knowledgeable, but when it comes to wisdom, somehow that knowledge isn't applied. And we can be like that so easily ourselves. Wisdom knows where certain paths lead, far beyond what we might be able to see for ourselves at the time. And it is an instantaneous world that we live in, a world of personal gratification, of quick wins and low-hanging fruit. So we need to benefit from the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of eternity, that takes the long view on things. That's exactly what we need. Insight. Imagine two people going to an art gallery together. And one comes to a painting and quite quickly has a look at the colour and the form, has a sort of gut reaction about how that painting looks and whether they like it or not, and then moves on. But the second person has been waiting to see this painting. They've heard about it. They know where this painting fits into the artist's life. They know what other painters were doing at that sort of time. They study the brushwork, the layers, the way that colour and composition has been used. They have insight to see the full depth of that painting. That's what Proverbs promises to bring us in life, that sort of insight. Prudence and discretion. They perhaps aren't quite the right words to capture the Hebrew here. It really is a sense of foresight, a sense of knowing what one action will lead to in the future, and therefore living accordingly, a sort of shrewdness about life. And isn't that exactly what we need for all those grey areas? Areas where actually there isn't a great deal of clear moral guidance from elsewhere in Scripture. Decisions like which job, which house, is now the right time? Evaluating the parts of ourselves that we see, our impulsiveness, maybe our disorganisation in certain areas, having the foresight to see where these things are going to trip us up and to avoid them. We can easily be good and moral, but also unwise. In a survey that asked people over the age of 95, the one thing they wish they'd been able to do, if they were to live their life again, what would they do differently? In the survey, the top answer was, I'd like to have been able to reflect more. Isn't that interesting? As people look back over their lives, people would have loved to have been able to live their lives according to well-thought-out priorities, not just rushing from one thing to the next all the time, but to stand back and reflect. The people surveyed would love to have been able to contemplate the meaning of life, family, work, and then to have changed how they'd lived accordingly. And Proverbs equips us to do just that, to reflect on life before it happens, not just once it's passed. Well, whatever stage we're at in life, Proverbs is a wonderful provision for us to be able to do that. It's addressed, as you'll see in these verses, to the young, because of course it's a great thing for young people to do, to reflect on life before it happens. But it's not just for the young, it's for each of us at different stages to keep reflecting, to keep learning from God's wisdom. Well, we may think that's all very well. I've had a crack at this Proverbs thing, though, and it's not that simple. I find the book a bit difficult to read. And also, I'm not convinced that Proverbs is always very realistic about life. Well, to get the best out of Proverbs, to really understand it, we need to understand where it fits within wisdom literature in the Old Testament as a whole. People generally say there are three books in the Old Testament that speak primarily about wisdom: Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And so let's think about an illustration for how these three books fit together. Proverbs is a little bit like a map, maybe a map of a sort of city centre. And you see the outlines of the buildings and the roads in between. And we see where roads lead and how we'd navigate from one part of the city to the other. But on any two given days, it can't guarantee that our route through the city will end up being the same. Because it's the general map. It doesn't show us the roadblocks and the things that might happen, the demonstrations or protests that might erupt on those streets. Job and Ecclesiastes do more of that. They show the things that break into the normality of life to disrupt it. Whereas Proverbs gives us the overall map. It shows us the general way that things tend to work. It's been described as a book of probabilities. They're not promises. The proverbs and the sayings in this book, they're not promises that life will definitely be like that. But they're still very useful. It's the probability of, if we do these things, then this is most likely what will happen as a result. So understanding where it fits within those three wisdom books can be helpful as we read. And Proverbs isn't quite as simple as we might think either. There are actually places where Proverbs has quite a lot of nuance to it. Places where it seems to contradict itself. But that shouldn't trouble us either. That's part of the richness of Proverbs. We're quite used to that, actually. Common sayings that we have, perhaps, many hands make light work, or too many cooks spoil the broth. When we put those two side by side, they contradict each other. But each of them is useful in the situation in which it describes. In some situations, we want to say many hands make light work. And that's helpful for us to reflect. But in other situations, too many cooks spoil the broth. So the fact that some proverbs contradict doesn't stop them from being helpful to us. We just need to understand the situations in which they apply. And we may also get to the sort of later part of Proverbs, beyond chapter 9, and feel that it's a bit of a confusing tangle of little ideas. How are we going to really benefit from their wisdom? Well, the thing to do is just to chew over them, slowly. Just as we might chew on a juicy piece of meat. Just let the flavour of that wisdom be imparted to us. And as we do so, we'll be able to reflect. We may not be able to remember the exact proverb in that situation when we need it, but the wisdom will slowly start to infuse our lives. We'll start to learn from the wisdom of Proverbs. And I hope that over the next 5 weeks, as we just dip into little places in Proverbs, we will benefit greatly from the wisdom here. But verse 7 helps us to frame the approach that we'll have as we look at Proverbs. You see, this isn't just worldly wisdom to equip us for life. No, it's framed by something far more significant. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To live our lives on this earth without recognizing our Creator, the one who made the world that we live in, the one who made us, wouldn't be a wise thing to do in Proverbs' eyes. And that fear spoken of in verse 7 isn't a sort of fear that drives us away from God. It's a fear which is a deep reverence for him, a deep respect for him, that draws us to him. It causes us to really listen when he speaks. And without doing so, we can't see the world as it truly is. And we can't see ourselves as we truly are. We'll get some of the picture, but we'll actually miss the most important things. And then to rightly apply that wisdom, we greatly need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Wisdom is about making the right choices. And as Proverbs would put it, the most important choice we'll make is whether or not we will be drawn to the source of wisdom. We'll be drawn to him, a right fear and reverence for the Lord, seeking to listen to him. So that should be our chief motivation as we look at Proverbs over the next 5 weeks. Not simply the benefits it will bring to our lives, it will surely do that. But will we really soak in the riches of Proverbs because we long, like Mary did in that reading from Luke, we long, like Mary did, to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus? There's Martha in the kitchen, very sensibly cracking on with all the things that need to be done, the things on the to-do list. And she's frustrated that Mary is in the other room sitting at Jesus' feet. She says to Jesus, "Why can't you send Mary in here to help me? It seems so obvious that that's the right thing." But Jesus surprises her and he says, "No, Mary has chosen the right thing. It might be wise in the world's eyes to crack on with the to-do list, but Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus instead." So we need the wisdom of Proverbs, but we need to receive it in the right way, with the right reverence and respect for the one who brings us that wisdom. And a great illustration of how the wisdom of the world differs from the wisdom of God is seen at the cross. If we evaluate the cross through the wisdom of the world, it makes no sense at all. It's a failure. But in the wisdom of God, it's the wisest thing that has happened in all of eternity. That's the difference. It's framed in a different way within the wisdom of God. You see, right through Proverbs, we're encouraged to take the long view, to see beyond our own horizon to how things really should be. In the long view, things that seem unwise are actually shown to be wise things to do. And that perspective that the Lord has of all of time means that at moments we might not find what he calls us to be the most sensible thing, but actually in his eyes it is the wisest thing that he calls us to. Well, as we close, I just wonder what are the areas of our lives where we feel that we most need to stop and reflect? Where are we aware of the fact that we have to rush from one thing to the next without really seeking God's wisdom? And how might we look to the Lord to grow in wisdom over the coming weeks, perhaps in 2018, in this new year? Grace and I have just started to make use of this devotional that goes through the book of Proverbs day by day. And I think it will take you through the entire year. And if you'd like also to join us in doing so, there's a sign-up sheet just at the back. I can get hold of copies of this for £10. And it will just take you through a verse of Proverbs every day of the year. That might be a great way to draw on Proverbs in 2018. But each of us can be those who fear the Lord this year and really are ready to sit at his feet, to trust his wisdom. And I pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you haven't left us guessing in the areas of life where we feel that there isn't a clear way to go. Thank you that you've equipped us with your wisdom. Please help us to draw on that wonderful, gracious provision that you give us. Help us to see the world as you see it. And help us to fear you in a right way as we do, trusting that your ways are best, trusting that you truly know what is best for us. And may we be applying your wisdom to all areas of our lives. Help us to see the areas of our lives that might be overlooked, the places where we're not yet really humbling ourselves before you and your wisdom. We pray that over these next 5 weeks, the book of Proverbs would truly help us. Help us to live rightly in your world. Help us to bring blessing to those around us as we live wise, godly lives. And please convince us that your ways are best. And help us to listen to you out of a deep love and reverence for you. For your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed. That book he mentioned, I've also bought myself a copy already. It's by a man called Tim Keller, who's a brilliant communicator. So I can, like Hugh and Grace, wholeheartedly recommend that book to you. I've been finding each day with short readings really helpful.